chapter number 3. And we've already mentioned it today, but we certainly want to remember in our prayers the country of France and the terrorist attacks over there. That was just a tragic thing. We hated to hear about that. And there's always a lot of turmoil going on in the world. But we certainly want to remember them. And I can't even imagine how difficult that would be. So we remember those that are hurting today. Acts chapter number 3. Let's read verses 1 through 11 and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The book of Acts chapter number 3 and beginning at verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we do come today, and I want to thank you for letting us be here, and I want to thank you for all the blessings you've given to us. Lord, we come today, and we look in your word, and I pray, God, that you would speak to us, speak to our hearts, not just our heads, or sometimes we can't even get our heads into it. But Lord, I just pray that you would just speak to our heart, help us in our spirit, help us to hear, help us to understand, especially if there be one here today among us that's lost and in need of salvation. Lord, help us as a church, God, that we would realize our responsibility before you and what we're to be about the business of doing. And Lord, as we come today on this Sunday, we're going to think about Thanksgiving here in a little while and get together and have a meal and fellowship. I just want to thank you for the unity that we have and that, Lord, we are getting along well. And, Lord, we can say if somebody asks, things are good, but, God, they could always be better. And, Lord, we pray for your presence. We pray for your power. Lord, we pray that you'd have your way in each and every heart today. And we'll thank you for what you do. Lord, you know the many objects of prayer that we have and what's already been mentioned this morning. Lord, we pray you'd be with each and every one of those. And we come asking these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, if you are a Bible reader today or maybe you grew up in church, you are probably familiar with this passage of Scripture. You may not be, but I'd say most people are familiar with what's going on in Acts chapter number 3. It's a favorite passage of Scripture to me. And when I read the Bible, I imagine what it would be like. I imagine being there. I imagine Peter and John, and they're going to the temple, and I can just see the lame man there laid out on the street, and he's asking for alms, the Bible says, which means a gift. He's begging. That's what he's doing. And that was the welfare system of that day. You know, they didn't have Social Security. They didn't have disability or something like that. If somebody was lame and they could not work, what they would have to do, they would have to resort to begging. And that's what this man was doing here. He was brought out there every day, the Bible says, and he had a certain place, I guess, maybe a good spot. And he would ask alms of people, which means to ask a gift, to ask for some money, to ask for some help, to ask for some assistance. And if you really read and study this passage of Scripture out and you look at the circumstances behind it and you discover what takes place, and then we've already read this morning, you know, this is something that has a happy ending. And he's healed, and he's walking and leaping and praising God. And everybody came around, and they saw this man that had been lame, that had been crippled since he was a baby, since his birth. That's what the Bible says. And they were greatly wondering, the Bible says. They were praising the Lord. And if you'd have been there, you'd have done the same thing. Wow, can you believe what the Lord just done for this man? It was an amazing thing. And so we study this passage of Scripture, and it is the first apostolic miracle, which means after the Lord Jesus Christ had gone back to heaven here, the church is very, very young, and this is the first miracle of many others that take place in the book of Acts. And we see the lame man healed here in chapter number 3. Now I want us to go into verse number 5 first of all today. And I want to point out something. In verse number 5, the Bible said, "And he," that's talking about the lame man, "gave heed unto them," talking about he was listening to Peter and John. And the Bible says in verse number 5, "expecting to receive something of them." And that's what I want to use for a title today to the message: expecting to receive something of them. Now, we're talking here about Peter and John. That's what it says in verse number 1. Now, Peter and John. Peter and John are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are preachers. They are involved in the young church at Jerusalem. And the Lord has just done a great work among them. If we were to take time and go back into chapter number 2, we would see that Peter had preached and 3,000 some people had gotten saved. And so there's a great stir in Jerusalem. There's a lot of excitement. Maybe Peter and John already have come to be known as, hey, that's the guy that was preaching, and that's John, and they were disciples of the Lord. We don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but we do know we're dealing with Peter and John. And if we look back in chapter 2, verse number 47, we see that God had been blessing in the church and adding to the church daily. It said in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, that the early church, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so there's a great work of God going on. And the Lord is saving people each and every day. And so we see in verse number 5, he gave heed unto them expecting to receive something. And can I say this morning that they, if we think about people out here in the world, they are expecting to receive something. You know, if you claim to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and you claim to know the truth and have God's word, they rightly so ought to expect to receive something. I mean, we're not the Optimist Club meeting together this morning, and I'm not throwing off on the Optimist Club. I don't even know if anybody is a member, or we're not some social club meeting together. We claim to know somebody that has all the answers. We claim that God's Word is God's Word. And so, rightly so, the world ought to expect something out of us. And this man was expecting to receive something. Now, I notice this in the Bible. It does not say that he was hoping to receive something. You know, there's a difference between the two. He sat there every day and hoped to receive something. But when Peter and John passed by and he asked an alms, he was expecting to receive something. You know, I just thought about this before I get into the message this morning. As I was listening to the choir sing before Sunday school, I thought to myself, am I here as an observer or a participant? An observer goes to watch what is going on, but a participant wants to get in on what's going on. And I hope you come to get in on what's going on among God's people in God's house, not just as an observer, but as a participant. And this man, he was a participant. He expected to receive something when he came into contact with James and John. Let me just point out some things from this passage this morning on the subject of expecting to receive something. I hope you come today expecting to receive something. This man was expecting to receive something. Now, first of all, I want us to look at the person. If we go back and read verses 1 and 2, we find there's a real person here. The Bible said in verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask an alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, verse number 2 tells us a lot about this man. The Bible says in verse number 2 that he was a certain lame man. Much could be said about this man. We could look at this man and we could compare Scripture with Scripture, and we could say a lot about him from an expository standpoint. You know, just look at his life and all the little tidbits of information we get here. We could divide his life up theologically, and we could point out that he is a type of something in the Bible. He is obviously a type of a sinner. He's a type of a lost person. The Bible says that he's lame, which means that he had trouble with his walk. The Bible says that he was lame from his mother's womb. That is a type of a lost person. That's a type of humanity. That's a type of all of us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. From birth, we are all sinners. We are all lame, spiritually speaking. And there's nothing in and of ourselves that we can do about that. This man is a type of lost humanity. He is a picture of all of us this morning. The Bible says in verse number 2 that he was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. He was completely dependent upon others. He could not do for himself what needed to be done. He was hopeless in his situation. He was helpless in his situation. I mean, if somebody could have done something, surely they would have done it before now. But nobody could do what he really needed done in his life. And so they carried him out there every day. And every day there he laid. And every day there he asked alms of others. He had to be supported from without. And we could spend a lot of time looking at him and talking about him. And, you know, sort of like a caseworker, we could get a folder and carry it around and tell a lot of things about this man. But what sometimes we forget about people is that people are people. Sometimes we think we can look at somebody and we can analyze their situation and we can even sometimes criticize their situation, but what we tend to forget sometimes is that he's a real person. He's a person for who the Lord Jesus Christ died. He's a person that God loves. You know, the Bible tells us God does love sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And here's a person that the Lord Jesus Christ died for, died upon the cross for. And we may see this person, and you know, we see people out places begging. Now we see people out that are begging, they're not like this man. This man was, he couldn't do any better. I see sometimes people out begging and, you know, standing beside the road and they have a sign, but as they're there and holding up their sign, they're talking on their cell phone. And it says homeless. And I think to myself, where does the bill for the cell phone go to? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying this fella, no doubt, he had some needs. He's a real person. He's doing the very best that he can under his situation. And he is a real person. And sometimes we forget about that in dealing with people, even somebody that maybe we don't like to see there, but they're still there. And they're still people that Jesus died for and God loves, and we need to remember to look at other people like that. Even if we think, well, they don't really need to be doing, they're doing that. They're still a person and God still loves them. So we see the person first of all. And second of all, we see the proposition. Now, when I say the word proposition, I mean that this man asked something. You know, when I propose to my wife, I ask her something. And so that's the way I'm using this word this morning. We see there's a proposition in verse number 3. This man, this lame man in verse number 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. He asked Peter and John, the word alms, it means for a gift. That's what he did. He sits here daily, I think with some success. You know, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I've read in the newspaper and talked to different people. Sometimes people that's what they do, they what we call beg. There's good spots. There's good places to sit. And there's places that aren't. And so they'll go back to the same place. This man went back to the same place. He had a good spot that he went out there and he begged every day. He asked an alms. Now, I think he had some success. He what we might say, made a living at it. The Bible said they carried him out there every day and set him at the same place. He had a good spot. And out of a crowd of we don't know how many people, he picks out Peter and John. And he evidently either calls them out, I don't know by name, or maybe he makes eye contact with Peter. We don't know. The Bible does not say. But he asked of them. He made an interaction with them. You know, it's one thing to walk by somebody. It's easy to walk by somebody if they don't say anything to you. But if they say something to you, it's hard. What are you going to do? The Bible said that he asked them. He saw something different about Peter and John. And I could say this morning, the world ought to see something different about us. And he asked, the Bible says, an alms of them. They were about to go into the temple. I mean, the Bible said in verse 1 tells us where Peter and John were going. They went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. I mean, they're going to church. They're going to prayer meeting. And maybe they're running late. The Bible said it's already the ninth hour. I mean, they got to go. And this man asks them, stops them, asks them for an alms. That's what the Bible said in verse number 3. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms. I don't think they stopped and talked to him. They were about to go into the temple. And this man began to ask them, look at them, and ask an alms, ask a gift for them. There's a proposition. When somebody asks you something, you are obligated to respond. Number 3, there's a possibility. Look in verse number 4. The Bible said, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. There's a possibility here in verses 4 and 5. There's two things I want to point out. Number 1, It's in verse number 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." If somebody's going to get the kind of help they really need, they're going to have to look to the right place. Peter said, "Look on us. Look at us." And then in verse number 5, the Bible says, "And he gave heed unto them." That means more than he just looked at Peter and John, but when it says he gave heed, he's going to listen to what Peter and John have to say. He had to look in the right place. He had to listen to the right person. This situation is looking up. It's looking like something good might come out of a bad situation, because this man who asked is now looking to the right place and he's listening to the right message. There's a possibility there. But until someone will look and listen, there's not a whole lot you can do for them. Not from a spiritual standpoint. You got to look. You got to listen. Now this lame man, the Bible says in verse number 5, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Could we not say right there, there's just a mustard seed of faith? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And this man, he looks at Peter and John. He gives heed. There's some faith there. Faith is the one thing that you have to have in order to have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he looks. And he begins to listen. Faith is the key that unlocks all of heaven's promises. Faith is the very foundation. It's the one thing. You're not saved by good works. You're not saved by being a good person. You're not saved by giving money to a good cause or anything like that. But one thing that you have to have, you've got to have some faith. You've got to look to the right one. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." And this man looked. And this man began to listen to what they had to say. Even asking of Peter and John. I mean, there's a lot of people no doubt went by on that day. And I'm sure there were people that looked like they might have had more money than Peter and John. But there was just something about Peter and John. Maybe there was something about their countenance. Maybe he had heard something about Peter and John. Maybe he knew what was going on in Jerusalem, but he asked Peter and John. I believe we see a little bit of faith, and we see that he looks, and we see that he listens. There's a possibility here in verses 4 and 5. Next of all, I look in verse number 6. There's a problem. Now, verse 5 said that he was expecting to receive something of them. Now, what do you think he was expecting to receive? He wanted some dinero. He wanted some green. Well, they didn't have green money. He wanted some gold money. He wanted some silver money. He wanted something that he could put in his pocket and he could take and spend. That is what he was expecting to receive. But in verse number 6, we have a problem. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." That's a problem. At first, that's what it looks like. Silver and gold have I none. This is what the world is expecting. This is what the man was expecting from Peter and John. And let me say this morning, the world will take all that we'll give them. And there'll still be the same problems tomorrow. If you went and emptied your bank account out and you gave away everything that you had, it wouldn't make a dent in the problems that the world has. That's what the world is asking for. But there's a lesson here for us this morning if we're in the church if we're like Peter and John and we do want to help people, but we in the church, we that are saved by the grace of God, we are not called to give everybody everything they want. We are not equipped to give people what they want. See, this man wanted silver and gold. We're not called to give silver and gold. This man wanted an alms. This man wanted money. He wanted food. He wanted clothing. He wanted something that would help him physically along. And let's just suppose this morning, let's say that Peter gave him a few dollars. What if Peter had a few pieces of silver? What if Peter had a piece of gold? What if Peter had taken him down to the curb and bought him a kebab? I think that's what they eat over there. That's my understanding. What if Peter had done that for him? And that'd have been nice of Peter. But Peter would have still left him laying there on the street just like he was. He would have given him what he wanted, but he wouldn't have given him what he needed. Church, this morning, we're called to give people not what they want. We're called to give people what they need. What they need most is not a hamburger. It's not a hot dog. It's a right, proper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the world needs. And we're the only ones in the world that's offering that. We have a higher calling. There's a calling to help people. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't help people. But I'm saying a lot of churches in this day and time, they have forgot their original calling is not silver and gold. It's not giving people what they want. We're not in the entertainment business. We're not in the make people feel good business. But a lot of churches, they've got on that type of worldly thinking that, you know, the church ought to be a place where people come and they are entertained and made to feel good and made to feel like they're going to a Starbucks or something. That's not what God's called us to do. God has not called us to give people what they want, even what they expect to have. But here we see that Peter and John, you know, it is of the Lord. I mean, who walks around with no money? But God had so arranged it that on that day, Peter didn't have any money. He didn't have any silver and gold. Surely he wasn't that destitute. I mean, surely he had something. I think I know why he didn't have any money. You know, if you study the Bible, Peter had a wife. She had not given him his allowance for the day, or either he had already spent it. He didn't have any silver and gold. If he would have had silver and gold, maybe that's what Peter would have done. He'd have said, "Sure, I'll give you some money," and he'd have went on to prayer meeting. But Peter didn't have any silver and gold. You and I really don't have anything to offer this world in and of ourselves. I mean, we may give a little temporary assistance here and there, but we're really shortchanging what God has really called us to do. So Peter said, verse number 6, "Silver and gold have I none, but..." I like the... You know, that's an interjection, that word "but." God intercedes. Tell you what I don't have any silver and gold, but. Well, that's a good but. It's good when God intervenes in our lives. He said, "But such as I have." Peter did have something. And what Peter had on that day was much more precious than silver and gold. He said, "But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." We see, last of all this morning, there's a power. There's a power. Now, Peter did not physically give the man anything, did he? But he did have something to give. He didn't put anything into the man's hand and say, "Here, this will help you out a little bit later." But he gave him something that helped him out the rest of his life. He did have something to give. I'm not saying this morning that we don't have anything to give. I'm saying we've got something greater to give than silver and gold. He said, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And we could go down through here and see there's several things we could point out. There was faith involved from the man. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. There was a lift. Don't say that Peter didn't do anything for him. Peter gave him a lift. I'm thankful for those that have come along and give me a lift down through life when I needed it the most. And that, there's a lot of things that Peter did, but I thought about this as I was studying this passage of Scripture. The Bible said in verse 7, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They'd seen this man every day. He came to the same place. He'd done the same thing. And now all of a sudden here he is in the temple and he's walking and leaping and praising God. No wonder they were amazed. No wonder the Bible said that they were filled with wonder. I'm in the last part of verse number 10. And amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. This man, he did not get what he asked for. But he got what he had never expected in a million years. He sat out there every day. Do you have something for me? Will you give me something? Asking alms of the people. And today he asks and he gets something. He never expected anybody would walk by and be able to heal him. But here he's going to walk home. I thought about this. We talk about this lame, this man. We really ought to talk about this man that used to be lame. Not the lame man, but when we come down in the end of these verses, he's the man that used to be. He's the man that used to be out there and sat by the temple. Now, we're not apostles this morning. I'm not able to reach out and take somebody by the hand that it's physically lame and heal them like Peter did. But I'll tell you, I have seen the Lord work in some lives of some people that were very lame, spiritually speaking. You ever seen anybody that the world would just give up hope on? They said, well, that's just the way they are. They'll never be any different. And then the Lord really get a hold of them and turn them into something for His honor and His glory. And lips that used to curse and drink and say all kinds of blasphemous things and was anything but a friend of God, God turned him into one of His choice servants. The Lord's able to do that. And the Lord did this, that by His power in this man. This man was in the right place, God's house. And he was around the right people, God's people. And he heard the right message. Let me say, God's house is not where you go to get pocket change. It's where you go to get your life changed. This man got his life changed. I could say and testify this morning, that's where I got my life changed. It was at the house of God. I mean, I, like the lame man, had went and went and went, but one day I got something that I'd never dreamed of in a million years. He got a hold of my heart. He changed my life. He's still doing that today. He's still changing hearts. He's still saving souls. He's still changing lives. He's still got power. Power to save, power to heal lives. He received something far more precious than gold. He received not what he wanted, but he received on that day what he needed. He did get a lift. It wasn't money, but it was a spiritual lift. And it was done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not a piece of money that had Caesar's picture on it. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we sang several songs this morning, and I can't pick out just one, but I noticed the name of Jesus being prominent. It wasn't in Peter's name. It wasn't in anybody's name, but in verse number 6, "But such I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." That's where the power is. That's where the power to change lives are. But you know where it all started at this morning? I go back to verse number 5 and I close with this. The Bible said, "And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something." I wonder when we come if we're really expecting to receive something. He got something, but he was expecting. I think a lot of times we don't get anything, we're not expecting anything. But he did expect to receive something. Sometimes you come and you're expecting to receive one thing and you get something totally different. That's how he was on this day. I'd like for us to do this morning. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Maybe you're here today.